Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. And I hope that you listened in yesterday talking to Rachel Adams about her new devotional. We're talking in February about love, and that is actually what we're talking about this week as the healthy habit for this week. We are talking about the power of a daily devotional. And whether you are tuning in from your car, if you're in your kitchen, or if you're somewhere in a chair having an afternoon cup of coffee, if you are patrolling the streets, if you're picking up kids from school, we have had listeners call in from all and write in from all of those different kinds of situations. Thank you for doing whatever it is that you're doing to serve your family, to serve your church, to serve your community. We really, really appreciate you. And today we're going to talk about the habit that can transform your faith, your mindset, and even your health. Now, have you ever woken up just feeling overwhelmed before your feet even hit the floor? You open your eyes and everything that you have to do starts crashing in. Maybe your phone's giving you alerts telling you this is what you have to do. Maybe you have pets that are telling you it's time to start the day. Maybe you have kids who are jumping in and saying, get up, it's time to go. You've got to go to work. You've got to go to school. Everything is a mile long. You've got to cook. You've got to clean. You have deadlines. Or maybe it's just family struggles that are weighing heavy on your heart. Life really has a way of throwing challenges at us. Some are big and some are really little. Some are really little, but there's so many. It just seems like any one of those things could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But listen, what if I told you there was a simple practice, just a few minutes a day, that could really help you refocus and find peace and build resilience for whatever is thrown your way within the day? Honestly, friends, that is the power of a daily devotional. It is not just about reading a few Bible verses. It's not about checking off a spiritual to-do list. It's not about a legalistic approach saying, yes, I did a devotional. It is about using it intentionally to set the tone for your day, to anchor your heart in truth, and to allow God's word to shape your perspective. It is really about stepping into your morning, or pausing if you do it in the middle of a chaotic afternoon. It doesn't necessarily have to be morning. It could be at nighttime. I am not a morning person at all. My husband will attest. I really am a night owl, but doing a daily devotional in the morning has been an absolute game changer for me. And it really helps me to start my day with intentionality to say, okay, God, I'm giving this day to you. What do you have for me? It helps me to refocus my attitudes for gratitude and to trust God with my day. When I read scripture, I read stories of what happens. Sometimes I'll read Bible stories and think, whoa, I do not want that to happen to me. And sometimes it's really beautiful. Sometimes it's encouraging. But science backs this up. Whatever it is that you do for a devotional, studies show that people who engage in regular faith practices like prayer and scripture reading, going to church, having gratitude — do any of these sound familiar to you? These are exactly some of the 52 healthy habits for healthy families that we've been talking about already this year in January. Everyone wants, you know, the magic life hack, but it is in this everyday spiritual discipline that we find ourselves healthier spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and that we find our families healthier, our relationships healthier. But science really supports this. So if you engage in regular faith practices, and this could be one of those things, people experience lower levels of stress, their emotional health is improved, and their immune system is stronger. You've heard me saying this over and over now. And when we align our thoughts with God's promises, we don't just strengthen our faith, we support our overall well-being. So all this week, we've been talking about and featuring devotionals and the importance of making time for God in our daily routines. So I'll be sharing some practical ways to incorporate devotionals into your busy schedule. We'll talk about that on Friday. Some of my favorite scripture passages for finding peace in the chaos. and really how this simple habit can deepen your relationship with God while also improving your health. Now, we are in a different life stage. It has looked very different for me across the lifespan. When my kids were very young, I had this idea that we would all gather together as a family at night, and it would be beautiful, and it would be peaceful, and we would open our Bible, or we would open a devotional book, and one of us would read. We'd probably sing in four-part harmony, much like the Von Trapps, because, you know, that was just the dream that I had, you know, not knowing that I married a rocket scientist and athlete who cannot carry a tune in the bucket. Sorry, honey. You have so many other gifts. Singing is not one of them. That was unrealistic. And what happened was life. My kids fought. They would fight over who got to read the devotional, you know. So, and I've talked with my friend Lauren Gaines, who wrote about this in her book Raising Healthy Kids, and I just put all of this pressure on myself, thinking that it had to be perfect, unshakable kids. Sorry, I knew I said that wrong. Lauren's book is Unshakable Kids. But I put all this pressure on myself, thinking that it just had to be perfect. And it wasn't. It really turned out that just being consistent was what my kids needed. So we would use very short little half a page devotionals that we would read every night together. And then eventually that transitioned to my kids doing their own, which was really important. I had to let that go a little bit and make sure that okay, we didn't have family time tonight, but they had their own individual time. And I'm telling you, it's so encouraging to walk into your child's room, look at their nightstand, see a devotional book laying there, and maybe it has a bookmark in it, and you open it up and it's on the right page. I'm telling you, as a mom, that's so encouraging, because you know that in this world we struggle, in this world we have troubles, but to know that you have taught your kids where to go and that they're practicing this spiritual discipline, it is really, really encouraging. And now as we're in a different phase of life where I've got kids in college and we've got kids going every which way, we selected a devotional plan that we do together, and we do it all on our own, but we talk about it together. And it's a great accountability check, because you can ask about that, what happened in the devotional that morning. And if you didn't read it, then you're going to be outed. They're going to know. But there's also scriptures that we're memorizing together. There is an app that my family found, my kids found, called Versal. There are plenty of great apps, but Versal is kind of like Wordle for memorizing scripture. And so every day you can do the Versal just like people do Wordle. And it's a great way to memorize scripture together. And that's gotten a little bit competitive, like who can get the scripture the most quickly. And, you know, sometimes there may be one of my children who may look that up. And I said, you can't cheat on this scripture. But really, it is just a great way to incorporate making time for God in our daily routine. And if you have ever struggled to stay consistent with a devotional routine, or you wondered if it really makes a difference, this week is for you. I'll be talking about it more on Friday and giving you some specific recommendations. That's one of the common questions that I get, is what are recommendations, especially for kids in that preteen stage? And I'll have some recommendations for you. But if you've ever struggled to stay consistent with that, or you're just wondering, does it really make a difference? I really want to hear from you. What are your favorite ways to connect with God? What devotionals do you have? You can drop them in the comments on our Facebook page. You can email them at info@drnursemama.com. We would just love to hear about your favorite devotionals. But here's some specific tips for thinking about making it consistent. And give yourself grace and space in the moment. One day your alarm may not go off, and that's okay. But set a specific time. What is the time that works best for you? Because it has been hard for me, honestly, transferring to be a morning person, because I'm not usually the most friendly in the morning until I've had my cup of coffee. Yes, I'm one of those cliche people. I like a little coffee with my creamer. That's just what I like in the morning. But choose a time that works best for you. Is that morning? Is it lunchtime? Is it before bed? And treat it with importance. Don't treat it as an afterthought, because it is so convicting. I've shared this multiple times before. One of the biggest barriers for having a consistent devotional time is feeling pressed for time. We just feel like, where am I going to fit that in my day? But if you have an iPhone, like most of the country does, you can look at your screen time. And I'm telling you, it's so convicting. because you can see so many places that you can carve out 5 minutes. Could you spend 5 minutes less on social media, on a sports news app or website? I'm not talking to you, honey. No, my husband's actually much better with his phone than I am, and it's really convicting. Or whatever it is, you probably have 5 minutes somewhere in that time on your phone, which our phones have become like a part-time job that we're having to manage. You can find some time. That is just not an excuse. We have got to be honest with ourselves and say it's not a time issue. It's a priority issue. It's just not that important. Because if it was really important, it would be in your calendar. We can say what's important, but you've got to look in your calendar and in your credit card statements or your checkbook and see where are you spending your time and money. That's what says what's important in your life. The second thing is to create a dedicated space. Find a quiet, comfortable spot where you won't be easily distracted and make it that space. For me, I have a rocking chair that I got from my granny's house. My granny went to be with the Lord the year before last, and I was very fortunate to get the rocking chair that had been in my room there when I lived there. And that is my prayer chair. That is where I go, and I rock the worries of the world away. And when I am wanting to spend time with the Lord, I go and sit in that chair. It connects me to her, to her faith, and it also tells my body and my mind and my spirit what I am doing. That's a spot where I'm going to pray. And you can keep your Bible, your devotional book, your journal right there in that same place, so they're always ready. And having this time and space is such a powerful example for your kids. My husband got a C.S. Lewis book from one of our kids for Christmas, and he goes to work usually pretty early in the morning. And when I get up in the morning and I go to make that cup of coffee, I see there on the dining room table his Bible open to whatever he was reading, and I see that C.S. Lewis book on top. And I know that he's been there. I know that he's been praying for our family even before my feet hit the floor. And that is really powerful. I think of all of the people I have interviewed on this show who talk about that. And actually, even just having that legacy of faith, I have one friend whose dad is really, really sick and is really going through a hard time. And he was having trouble with his blood sugar. And she said that she was in the other room and she could hear him, just really trying to manage the blood sugar, and it just wouldn't go away. And she said, I could hear my dad say, Jesus, I need your help with my blood sugar. Jesus, help me. Just praying. And wouldn't you know it, that morning was the first time that his blood sugar was completely under control. And she shared that story with us saying, what a legacy of faith. And those are the kinds of places where we can put faith in action. So if you've got a time, you've got a space, then start small, okay? Do not do a big, study that's really long, that's really complicated. Just start small. Begin with just 5 or 10 minutes and gradually increase your time. So just do something small, but strive for consistent. Even a single verse with some reflection can make a big difference. There are so many devotional guides or apps. You could use a structured devotional that fits your season of life. That could be something on parenting. It could be health. It could be spiritual growth. There are apps like YouVersion, First Five. There are so many apps that could do. YouVersion is a devotional app that's on your Bible app on the phone. And you can sign up for different plans. I actually have a plan for my book, Behind Closed Doors. If you have parents of teens, you can sign up for the YouVersion of that. We've also featured several guests on the show who have YouVersion apps. So if there is a guest we had on that you really like, look and see if they had a YouVersion devotional. And then maybe just take a few minutes just to journal down your thoughts. Just write down any key Bible verses or prayers or reflections on how God's speaking to you. Keeping a record of that helps you track spiritual growth and revisit encouragement when you need it. And I have a lot more tips. So we will be talking about those all throughout the week. We are trying to work on connecting a really exciting guest. We're going to try to make that work here during the break. But don't go away, because we have somebody on the line who I can't wait to introduce to you. So just hang in there and I'll give you an update on the other side of this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome back. I'm so glad to have you. Listen, we are working on getting our guest for today, and as happens with live radio, we are having some issues with that. And let me just tell you, I've got something exciting in the works for you, and we're working on that. And today, I'm just going to continue to tell you about our weekly habit devotionals, and we're going to be featuring some authors this week, and we have been featuring some authors for that have done devotionals. This is so important. Listen, let me go back for just a second and invite you in on the journey. We did this last year, and I heard from so many of you that this was so impactful and so transformational. It's a great time to revisit it. So what we're doing is 52 Habits for Healthy Families. Every week, I'm giving you a new habit to integrate and to habit stack into your day. And if you start off small, so far we are just on week 6. It is not too late to jump in. It is never too late to jump in. If you've missed any of the last ones, you can go back to any Friday show, Ask Dr. Nurse Mama. And every Friday, I've been talking specifically about practical applications of this habit, answering questions about it. And also, if you want the shorter version, you can go to the Dr. Nurse Mama coaching minutes on any podcast platform or AFR.net, AFR's app, and you can listen to just a 1 minute version. I hear from so many families who are just struggling in so many different ways. You know, I feel like from 2020, starting with COVID, every New Year's is just kind of, okay, is this year going to be better? And every year just seems to bring more chaos, more confusion, just more unpredictability, more instability. And right now, the world can feel just overwhelming. That is what I am feeling personally in my own life and my family's life and my professional life, just the weight of the world. I mean, yes, we have demands of daily life. We've got uncertainty. We've got personal struggles. It is just easy to feel exhausted or anxious or even hopeless. But I want to remind you of this. God is in control. He is not pacing the throne room of heaven, wringing his hands and saying, oh no, what's going to happen next? He loves you. He knows you. He sees you. He weeps alongside you. He is our loving Father. And in the midst of chaos, God is your refuge. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. So often we turn our backs, we distract our minds, but God is an ever-present help in trouble. So no matter what it is that you are facing today, whether it is financial strain, whether it's health concerns, just the challenges of raising a family in these uncertain times, God is with you. You are not alone. I implore you to hold on to the truth that God's love for you and your family is unwavering. He promises in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So take a deep breath wherever you are. Find moments of peace in God's presence. Lean on the people that God has put in your life to walk with you and to carry your burdens. Give your burden to the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Pray together. And most of all, trust that even in the storms of life, God is working all things for your good and for his glory. You are loved. You are seen. You are held in his hands. Keep going. Keep believing. And know that brighter days are ahead. And even though we know that even in this world we have trouble, we have a hope that doesn't disappoint us. We have a hope and a God that will never fail. And I find hope every single day. When we look back at the habits that we've talked about already in 2025, which I've heard from so many saying, I tried the 31-day trial of 2025. I'd like a return. I'd like a refund. I'd like to cancel my subscription. But here we are already in February. It seems like, you know, January was only 111 days long, right? But look at what we've talked about. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about the importance of praying every single day, whether that's just a simple prayer or whether you are on your knees before the Lord for however long it takes you to pour the concerns of your heart out. We've talked about memorizing scripture. We've talked about plugging into church. We've talked about using worship intentionally. So if you've been following along, I want you to listen and just do a little self-reflection here and think, how are you doing on those four things so far? That was January: prayer, memorizing scripture, going to church, and playing music. Are you doing those things? Now we're going to talk about how you can stack those things together. Last week, I talked about gratitude, vitamin G, so powerful, honestly, such an underutilized spiritual discipline, underutilized coping mechanism. And when we practice gratitude, we can do that through prayer. You can just make it the practice to start every prayer that you pray with a word of thanks. That is an easy way to habit stack and to just make it a habit to go to the Lord and thanks, or whatever that is. Maybe that's starting your dinner, where you have dinner every day already and you're just putting that gratitude in there, but putting gratitude into prayer, putting scriptures into prayer, just praying scriptures out loud and just not just saying it to say it, but saying it as a prayer. As you're going to church, I promise you, if you're going to a good church, you're going to be praying, you're going to be saying scripture, you're going to be listening to some good music, and you should be prompted for gratitude. Now, the way to really start to work that into your week is your daily devotional. Now, that can be a short prayer, that can incorporate music, that can have a time of thanks. There are so many ways to do it. And in the first segment, I was talking about some of those practical ways. I talked about having a specific time, a dedicated space, starting small, picking something that you're going to do, whatever that devotional guide is, app, or if it's just reading straight through the Bible, and then journaling your thoughts. So that's where we left off. So writing down key Bible verses, prayers, reflections on how God is speaking to you, just keeping a record of that is really powerful. I can tell you, I have some of my granny's journals from her Bible studies that she did, from her devotionals, and it's so precious now to look at that legacy of faith and to remind me of her words as she's speaking to me, even when she's not here with me, but I know that I'll see her again. A great thing to do during your devotional time is to incorporate worship and prayer. So play worship music before it or after or during if that works for you. But is there a specific time? You can even play worship music, play a hymn as a devotional, meditate on the lyrics, play it while you're brushing your teeth if you need to. But use that devotional time to specifically pray over your concerns, over your family, and to pray that God would help you to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. As I said before, it is so encouraging to me to walk into my children's rooms, to walk into the dining room, see my husband's Bible on the table, which, by the way, I've talked about this before and said I was going to go back to it. This seems like maybe a good time to do that. My husband and I had a lengthy discussion, a pretty spirited discussion a couple of years ago about his Bible. My husband is very tech savvy and he likes using a Bible app. But one day I was sitting in church and I looked around and all I saw was people on their phones. Now, I'm not judging you if you're using an electronic app for your Bible, not saying anything. There's nothing wrong with that. But it struck me that as I looked through the eyes of children, which I often try to do wherever I go, how would children see and interpret this? I thought, how do they see this as any different than us just sitting on the recliner, scrolling through social media, or us standing at the kitchen counter, doing our online grocery order, or whatever it is? They don't have that differentiation. And it really bothered me a little bit. And I talked to him about it and he said, well, I think that's ridiculous because it's a Bible. But you know, he really thought about it and came back and to his credit said, you know, I really can see where you're coming from. And I want my children to leave our home with those images of me reading my Bible and to know that that's what it was, that's what I was reading. And so he has transitioned to a paper Bible in church. And I thank you for that, honey. That's so sweet. But just whatever it is to motion to our children, to give that encouragement, it's not about showing off spiritually, but it's about giving them that consistency. This is one of the building blocks for resilience when your family reaches hard times. I mean, if you're going through something tough, but you walk in and you see, hey, I know that my mom is interceding for our family. I know that my dad is praying for me before I even get up. Hey, I know that my kids are praying for each other. That is super, super powerful. It's also powerful if you can make it a family practice. So read a short devotional with your spouse. That's really powerful. Or your children. You can do that once a week. You can do that once a day. Every family is different. Figure out what works for you. Maybe like what's working right now, what's working in one season may not work in another season. So what's working for us now is all doing the devotion on our own and then having that group text about it because we're all in so many different places. And just maybe you discuss one key takeaway from that devotional when you have a family meal or when you have a get together. But stay flexible and give yourself grace. If you miss a day, don't feel guilty. Just pick up where you left off. God desires your heart. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He knows that we're a work in progress. Another really important thing to do that you can incorporate into your devotional is memorizing a key verse. So choosing that verse to meditate on, to recall during stressful moments. You can write it on a sticky note, set it as your phone's lock screen. You can put it on your bathroom mirror. I know I got into my daughter's car when she was home from college and I saw it on her dashboard. And when she is just driving around, she just remembers to meditate on that, to read it as she gets into her car, as she gets out of her car. There are so many ways to do it, but memorizing a key verse together. Those verses start to become integrated into your prayers. They start to become integrated into your conversations with your family, with your spouse, with your children. And God's truth is constantly played over us. We're constantly reminded of God's truth, which is really so encouraging. Another thing you might consider doing is connecting with a community. Join a Bible study, join a small group for encouragement, or ask someone to hold you accountable. Say, hey, I want to do this YouVersion plan. Would you ask me about it or would you do it with me? And share your favorite devotionals with friends. Maybe that would be a good use of social media if you're on it, right? Get on there and say, hey, give me all your favorite devotionals. And then you'll have a library to choose from. Which one are you doing? And then you'll also see other people who are working to do that with you. And again, by making time for God every day, we are cultivating a stronger faith. We are finding peace in life's chaos, and we can experience spiritual and health benefits of drawing closer to Him. So often I hear, no, it's just so difficult to find time during the day. Well, you know what? What I discovered is It is difficult to find time during the day. It was really difficult for me to get up in the morning to read the scripture because that was just not a normal rhythm for me. But what's much more difficult is facing the day without it, is trying to tackle everything on your own, is taking the day on without setting your heart and your mind. That is difficult. And what I discovered is I have a choice to choose which way my day is going to be difficult. Am I going to struggle out of bed and rub my eyes and, you know, walk over, stumble over to the coffee pot and read God's word and then face the day? Or am I going to get up and say, you know what, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to hope for the best and see how it goes. There is a way that you're really making a choice there. And that was something that was hard for me. But a daily devotional is so important for us as believers because it nurtures a deeper relationship with God and it provides spiritual guidance for daily life. If you are in a season of struggle, which I can relate to, this is one of the things that you can do to get out of that rut. Just like any relationship, our connection with God grows through consistent time spent in His presence. If we don't spend time with our kids, if we don't spend time with our spouse, our relationship suffers and the sensitivity level increases. The distance seems to grow. God is the same. And a devotional really helps cultivate intimacy with God. You get to know who He is, what He thinks of you, and how He is guiding you in your life. We need that spiritual nourishment. Remember from Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Just like our bodies need food, our souls need the nourishment of God's word to stay spiritually healthy. It also helps you stay rooted in truth. The world is full of distractions, full of conflicting messages, and a biblically sound devotional helps keep your mind focused on biblical truth, and it provides wisdom and encouragement to navigate those challenges with a faith-centered perspective. It also reduces stress and anxiety. Spending time in God's word, it does bring peace. It does bring comfort. It reminds you that God is in control. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 encourages us, be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, not for every situation, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something that you want? That is something that I want very, very deeply. And I know that you want that for your family too. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit about drifting and how we drift when we don't have those daily disciplines. It's subtle and we don't often recognize it until we're really, really far from the shore. But having these simple practices are ways to reset your family and to strengthen your family's relationship health. So thanks for listening in. We'll talk more about the power of the daily habit of a daily devotional right on the other side of this break.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome back. We are talking about the power of a daily devotional. That is this week's habit. And I've been talking every week about just those simple spiritual disciplines, these healthy habits that build healthy families. I have found this to be true through science. I have found this to be true through the testimonies of other families. I have found this to be true in my own life. And as a reminder, listen, I started off my journey as a mom who was very timid and very afraid. I just was very fear-based. I was constantly afraid of something, afraid I was going to lose my relationship with my kids, afraid that I was going to do the wrong thing as a mom and scar my kids for life. I was afraid that I wasn't going to be a good wife and that my marriage would be unhappy, all of these things. But it's been now a journey of about 15 years where God got a hold of my heart. And he showed me I needed a new mindset and a new skill set. I had a professional skill set, but that wasn't enough. I needed the faith integration to save my family. And it has. And together, God has worked through us to rebuild, to renew, to redeem, to restore. And that's one of the reasons why I am so passionate about sharing hope for healthy families, because I have found that hope for my own family. I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth. And we are definitely not a perfect family by far. My kids would probably fight over who got to stand in line and tell stories first about the many failures that we have had, the many setbacks, the many trials, but they would also tell you that through it all, we've stuck together and we have stuck to our faith, and that is the thing that has gotten us through. I've been so overjoyed to share with you. My daughter has joined me on the show, Shelby. She's going to be on an upcoming show and sharing some of that journey together. And that's really what I'm sharing with you through the 52 Habits for Healthy Families. There is no secret. This is no secret to healthy families. It is all in the everyday, in the spiritual disciplines. And so often we see families that it's difficult to stay rooted in their faith in a world that is just built on shifting sands. Everything is changing, and it's so easy to drift because what's celebrated today is canceled tomorrow. Everything seems chaotic. Everywhere you look, you see conflict, and that can be really discouraging. And have you ever been somewhere where you've just looked up one day and realized that you just feel distant from God? Maybe it's all of a sudden you're just not praying as much as you used to. Maybe church just feels more like a chore than something you're looking forward to. Maybe your kids are asking you questions that you just don't know how to answer. Or maybe you've even wondered, what do I really believe? Does God really see me? Does he care me about me? Does he love me? Well, you are not alone. And right now we live in a culture where more and more people are walking away from their faith. Now, I told you every day I find hope, and actually yesterday I had the privilege of being at a large conference of children's ministers, and let me tell you how encouraging that was. Let me share this with you because I think it's really important for you to visualize this as I walk into the room and I see all of those people who have dedicated their lives to ministering to children, to making children their priority, to giving them a healthy, safe, emotionally supportive place where they can grow their faith, and to walk in and to realize that every single one of those people had surrendered to a call to the ministry, had gone to school to get training, had left their families for the week to go to this conference, had sat and diligently taking notes, meeting other people, and the one burning question on their minds is, how can God use me to help make the world a better place for kids? Let me tell you, to sit in a room full of people like that, I literally have goosebumps right now. Those are people who are praying for your kids. Yes, I'm talking to you, your kids. They are praying that your kids would walk through the door and that they would be prepared to love and serve them well. That's their whole life's mission. That is amazing. And when we have experiences where we're hurt by churches or we're hurt by people associated with our faith, or we have things where people fail us because people aren't perfect, just know that there are people who are working to follow God. And that is a really, really beautiful thing. Dr. George Barna spoke right before me, and he has been on the show. We've talked about his book, about his research. He has many, many books, of course, but he really implored those children's ministers to please, please do everything that they could to impart a biblical worldview, that really by the age of 13, it becomes so much more difficult to impact how children believe. So especially if you have young children in your home, if you have grandchildren, it's such an important time, and they have more influences now than ever. Before, influences were a little bit decreased. They were influenced mainly by their family, by their community interactions, by their school, by their church. But now with screen saturation, it doesn't matter if your kids don't have their own device. They are exposed to screens everywhere. You can't walk through a store without seeing some media playing somewhere. And even in church environments, we have screens, and they're learning from screens. And they really need to learn from that in-person human interaction from people who love them and care about them, because they are going to see people who are hurt. They're going to see people who drift. They're going to be exposed to a multitude of different worldviews that contradict biblical truth. And we hear a lot about deconstructing faith, where people start questioning and tearing apart what they once believed. Now, questioning isn't necessarily bad. God is not afraid of our questions. And we see many times in the Bible, people asking questions. But what we see happening far too often is that people aren't just questioning their faith. They're walking away from it. They're denouncing it. And when we do not take the time to adopt these daily spiritual practices, we can be swept away by the currents of culture. And scripture warns us about this. Let me read to you from Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And really, when we look at that, see it, no one takes you captive, no one person, no one force, because hollow and deceptive philosophy is streaming through social media. It's streaming through media, through movies, through YouTube videos that our kids are watching, through influencers. So how do we keep our families from drifting? Well, here's some advice for you. Let me give you some things to consider. First of all, busyness crowds out time with God. If our family is busy most of the time, the spiritual practices are going to be the first to go, because there's work. Well, you got to go to work if you want to eat. There's school. Well, you've got to go to school if you want to, you know, be a successful adult in this world. There's sports, which is, a subject for another time that I'm just going to leave right there. But it's very easy for our faith to become just another item on a to-do list. Spiritual conversations can become rare. If you don't actively discuss faith at home, it just kind of quietly fades into the background. Kids, once you normalize talking about that, they'll talk about it. But if you stop asking, they'll stop telling. And then all of a sudden, it's been a long time since you've asked, hey, what's God doing in your life? And then saying that just feels like this giant splash in a pool. It just feels like, whoa, that seems really out there, you know, jarring rather than just normal. And if we're not intentional, the influence of culture will become more prominent than the voice of God. That is what Dr. Barna talked about a lot yesterday about movies. He looked at the top influences of kids, which parents are still up there. Families are still up there. Churches were barely in the top 10. They were way down on the list. But we see movies and media were the most influential force, which is somehow we know that, and somehow we still are dumbfounded by that. But we have movies and music and even schools that can promote a worldview that is contradictory to scripture without a strong biblical foundation. Those messages start to shape our thinking, and we have to have that strong biblical foundation by going to the Word of God every day. We also can be hurt by the church. We can be hurt by other believers. And many people walk away from their faith, not because they doubt God, but because they've been wounded by people. And that happens. It's so cliche, but it's so true. The church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. If you're involved in a church, there will be imperfection there. There will be falters. There will be failures. There will be hurt that goes there. And that can't take us away from our faith. The other thing is when we isolate, when we stop surrounding ourselves with other people who are going to hold us accountable, who are going to have that kind of conversation, we really lose the encouragement and accountability that keeps us strong. And maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, okay, that's us. That's me. My faith, my family's faith, it just isn't what it used to be. But I want to encourage you, it is never too late to turn around. God is waiting for you with open arms. We do not have to be swept away by culture. We can stay strong. We can be rooted in our faith by prioritizing those daily spiritual disciplines, setting time aside for Bible, for reading, for prayer, for reflection. Even just 10 minutes a day can make such a big difference. If you count that over a year, even just 5 minutes a day, and thinking about all the other things in your schedule, it is about prioritization. It's not about busyness as much as it is about priorities. So don't let your faith just be something. Another way we drift is that we let that faith practice only happen at church. We take our kids to church and we think, okay, they're going to their small group, their life group, their Sunday school group, their connection group, whatever it is, they're going to service, and that's great. We did our faith practice for the week. It needs to come from home. Praying together, whether that's you and your spouse, whether that's you and your spouse and your kids, whether that's you and your grandkids, pray together. Talk about how biblical truth applies to real life situations and ask hard questions at home. We've talked about that on the show in the last week. At Seeking Biblical Answers, I shared with you, my son started asking some really hard questions that I had no idea. So we had him write them down in a notebook, and then we paid to take a pastor to lunch and say, can you help us answer these questions? And guess what? He couldn't answer them all either, but he did give us some help and some hope for how do we struggle through those things. And then again, like we've talked about, one of the habits is recommitting to your church or Christian community. Find a church that is biblically based, that preaches the truth of Scripture, and plug in. Surround yourself with believers who are going to encourage you and challenge you. And then, of course, we do need to limit the influence of culture. And it's not about being legalistic, but just think about what is subtly influencing you. I will tell you, I've talked about this and asked Dr. Nurse Mama Friday that on week four, that would be on January 17th, we talked about music and on the 17th and the 24th, music and going to church. Music absolutely impacts your attitude, your emotions, and your actions. It can instantly transform. And it's not about the evils of secular music. It's about the power of Christian music, of the way that you can use that to shape your beliefs. That is important. And if, like I said, if you've even, most of you probably memorized your times tables by using a song and you can still sing it. How many of you, if I said Alabama, Alaska, you're already singing it because you know that song, right? That's how you memorize the states. Well, these are ways that we can memorize scripture and scriptural truths. So live out your faith boldly in front of your family. Keep your faith strong and be open with your family about what you're doing. It's not about bragging about it. It's not about being, oh, look at what a great Christian I am. Oh, look, I'm reading my Bible. It's about being transparent before your family, letting them see what your priorities are. Because I want to remind you of a simple truth today. Faith is not something that's going to happen by accident. It is something that you must choose daily. Our bodies need food. Our spirits need to be nourished by God's word. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And if you don't guard your heart, the world is going to shape it for you. So today, take a step, pick up your Bible, pray for your family, memorize a scripture, plan to go to church on Sunday or maybe even Wednesday night. Look at your playlist and what you're playing. Think about how you're expressing gratitude in your family and choose a daily devotional. Choose one, anyone. I'd love to hear what one you choose or what one you recommend. Maybe it's having a conversation you've been avoiding. Maybe that's even with yourself. It's never too late to strengthen your faith and lead your family back to the solid foundation of Christ. That is so encouraging. I'm telling you, working with kids every day, being with the children's ministers yesterday, I see kids who so badly want someone to tell them the world that everything's going to be okay. And we know that eventually it is, even no matter what happens, that we are going to be okay. They are saying, is there hope? And we can tell them there is hope. So that is your prescription for hope today. Have a daily devotional. Do it. Stop making excuses. Do it and let me know how it goes for you. And as you choose that, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, that he will be gracious to you. And I can't wait to see you back here tomorrow. Hey, we're going to have part two of a conversation with Jill Garner on Strong Heart. I think that's what we're going to do. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.